In Jonah 1:1-3, when the Lord came to Jonah and asked him to go to Nineveh and ask the people to repent because they had sinned, Jonah was really reluctant. Nineveh at the time was capital of the Assyrian Empire, foremost city in the world, and I think you can understand Jonah's reluctance. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. As we move on to Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, this time when the Lord comes to Jonah, he obeys, which essentially is the very essence of repentance, understanding where you went wrong and going ahead and attending to your work and duty. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it the message that I tell you." So Jonah went out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. And as we go to Philippians, Philippians 2:12-16, again, the passage is about obedience, and Paul calls upon the Philippians to obey God no matter what. It's the path to the greatest fulfillment. In other words, we need to adopt the attitude of Jesus. "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." And finally, we conclude with Matthew 12:38-42. I think we all know that faith is not about necessarily what you see. You don't have necessarily physical evidence. It's about believing. And in this passage, there's criticism of those people that demand some kind of physical evidence for believing in God. If you'll please stand for the reading of the gospel. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so for 3 days and three nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth." The people of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah and see something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon and see something greater than Solomon is here.
Before we start the sermon, let's take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance as we look into your holy word today. Renew us with your Spirit. Open our hearts and our minds that we might be receptive to your word and receive the full meaning and that we may apply it to our lives. Help us to walk closer to you each and every day, and we will give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to talk about Jonah today. And if you've never looked at Jonah, it's four short chapters in the Bible. It's almost to the end of the Old Testament. It's the story about Jonah and the big fish. And some people call it the whale. It's not really a whale. It's a big fish. And most of us know this story from Sunday school or junior church. When we were young, we heard this story probably as many times as I did, over and over and over again. And it kind of went something like this. It was Jonah disobeyed God. There was a big storm. Jonah fell into the sea and was swallowed by a whale. And 3 days later, he spit out on the land. And that message was stretched into being, do as you're told. By your parents, by your teachers, and of course by God. But do as you're told. But let's take a look at the story and see what really is going on here. The first thing I want to point out to you is because the big fish is in the story, unbelieving people have a hard time accepting it as factual. See, they don't believe in the big fish. Some call it fiction. Some people say it's a parable. And many refer to it just as a story. A lot of people look at it because it's not possible. Fish aren't big enough to swallow a man. Or, how could Jonah breathe? He was in the whale's stomach, not in his lungs, so how would he have air to breathe? Or, what about all that acid in his stomach? It would eat him up, and he would surely die. And on and on and on. People just can't get it. So is it just a story? Well, as we looked, as Nancy read in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 to 41, Jesus regarded it as fact. Jesus called it a sign of his own resurrection, a confirmation of the book of Jonah and all the events that took place. So who is this Jonah guy? There's not a whole lot in the Bible about Jonah. He's only mentioned in like 20 verses, 19, 20 verses, and a couple of them it's twice. So the first time we meet Jonah is in 2 Kings. We find that Jonah is the son of Amittai, and he is from Gath-Hepher. Jonah is a minor prophet, and he's during the reign of Jeroboam II, and he aided Jeroboam in reclaiming the northern kingdom of Israel and making it powerful and prosperous. The one thing we do know also is he's a minor prophet, and he appears after the prophet Elijah, but before the prophets of Amos and Hosea. And in Jonah chapter 1, verse 9, he said of himself, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and dry land. And we're going to come back to that verse here in a few minutes. So we know very little about Jonah. But God comes to Jonah and gives him his commission in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. God tells Jonah to arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. Now, as Nancy said this morning, Nineveh was a big city, a capital of Assyria. But it was a Gentile city. It wasn't a Jewish community. It was a Gentile city. It was the greatest, most hated city in the ancient world. It was the center of barbaric cruelty. And God wanted Jonah to go and warn the people of Nineveh that he was going to punish them just like he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. He was going to destroy it. And this is when Jonah decides to disobey God. Jonah has several options here. The first one is he could have said yes and gone and done what God asked him to do and done the mission. The second thing he could have done is he could have said, no, God, I'm not going to do that, and just stayed where he was, wherever that was. But no, Jonah didn't do those. Jonah decides that he's going to flee. He says no, and he is going to head to a faraway place. So why did Jonah refuse to go to Nineveh? Well, not because he was afraid for his life, and not because the task was hopeless, because he knew through God all things are possible. But rather in success. See, if God spared Nineveh, they would share in Israel's privileges. Okay? The Israelites were God's chosen people. And you want me to go and save somebody that's Gentile? Jonah didn't like the idea that God might show favor to other nations. Nor did he want that to happen. Jonah wanted God's wrath to come to Nineveh because it would also destroy an enemy of Israel. But God cares for all his people, even in the wicked place like Nineveh. In verse 3, we read, "But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port instead of going to Nineveh." Well, Tarshish is thought to be in Spain. And that's as far west as you could go, at the end of the earth. The opposite direction of where God wants him to go. But can we really escape God? Jonah knew that wasn't possible. I mean, what was he really thinking? In Psalms chapter 139, starting in verse 7, we read, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I raise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you." He wasn't getting away from God. You can't run from God. This reminds me of a story that I heard years and years ago. A young boy was walking home from church one Sunday and an older gentleman stopped him on the sidewalk and said, "Hey, sonny, where are you going?" He says, "I'm going home from church." And he says, "What'd you learn this Sunday in Sunday school?" And the little boy was really proud that he learned all about God and that God is always with him. And the man said, "I'll tell you what. I'll give you a dime for every place you can tell me God is." The little boy thought for a minute. He said, "Mister, I'll give you a dollar if you can tell me where he ain't." And that's the truth. God is everywhere. You can't run from him. You can't hide from him. He's there. It's plain and simple. Jonah couldn't escape God, and neither can we. You can't escape the presence of God. And continuing on in verse 3, "After paying the fare, he went aboard and and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And this is important. You think, oh, he paid his way. Well, yeah, he paid his way. Well, why is that important? Because you see, that implies that he is traveling alone. God did not pay the way, and God is not guiding his path. Jonah's doing this all on his own, all alone. It's also interesting to note that Jonah was not concerned with his disobedience to God. And we haven't gotten to that part of the text yet. But he was not worried that God may punish him. In fact, in the next verses, he went down into the ship and went to sleep. In verses 4 through 15, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up, throw me into the sea, he replied, and I will become calm, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard into the raging, and the raging sea grew calm. The sailors did what they could to help themselves. They tried to lighten the load. They tried to row to shore. But against God's tempest, it's all in vain. We can't go against God's will. Jonah was cast into the sea as a deliverer. He was the salvation for those sailors, just like Jesus is the salvation of the tempest of the world. In verse 17, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And what is it that we do when we get into a terrible situation? The first thing we think of is, let's pray to God. And that's what Jonah did. And there's 4 points I'd like you to take notice in his praying to God. The first one is the reason for his prayer. It was about the distress and the hopelessness of his situation, being in the belly of a fish. The second was, God is always open to prayer. Regardless of where we are, God hears your prayers. Just like you heard Paul and Silas pray from prison in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. The third thing is whom he prayed to. He prayed to who he believes in, who he has a personal relationship with. The Lord is God. And the fourth thing he prayed for was to thank God even before he is delivered. He's still in the belly of the fish, but he thanks God for his deliverance. I want you to know something. He doesn't pray about his sin. He is remorseful that he sinned, that he caused this. He doesn't repent. He thanks God for delivering him from this peril. When Jonah finished the prayer, God was quick to answer. In chapter 2, verse 10, which is the last chapter of the last verse of the chapter, and God commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And then chapter 3, verse 1 is, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it the message I give you. Okay, so God goes to Jonah the second time to be of service. It's still not an easy task. It's the same task as he had before. The only difference now is that Jonah has chosen to fulfill his mission. He's decided to say yes to God and go do what he's and obey God. But Jonah's message to Nineveh has not changed, nor has his heart changed. He was just going through the motions, going and doing what God asked him to do. When he got to Nineveh, he gave no instructions. He gave no directions, no encouragement to repent. Jonah had come not to seek their repentance, but to announce their doom. He still wanted God to destroy Nineveh. Jonah was just a man. He had no compassion. He could not perform miracles. He had no power to forgive. And he preached a message of anger and destruction to the city of Nineveh. The point is that Jonah, being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, was the miracle. That was God's miracle. And through this miracle, the Ninevites listened, believed, and repented. There's nothing that Jonah did. It was God's miracle. But the people of Nineveh did believe and repent. In verse 11, when God saw what they did and how they had turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God was pleased with their repentance and deferred the doom. It's kind of amazing if you go a couple books back in the Bible, 100 years later, Nineveh slid into what it was then, and God did destroy Nineveh, and it was never rebuilt. But Jonah was angry with God. He was bitterly disappointed. Why didn't God punish these evil people? But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? In verse 5, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city where he made himself a shelter. He sat in the shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Jonah was waiting to see if Nineveh would be destroyed. The narrow-mindedness of man. You see, we don't know God's plan or the purpose. We want things to go our way. I see what I want. And I want God to do what I want him to do. But that's not how it works. God's way is best. We have no idea or understanding of the situation. But God does. Let God be in control. Jonah resents the forgiveness of Nineveh. The same forgiveness which he himself just experienced after being disobedient. God didn't punish Jonah. God turns away from the evil destruction that both Jonah and Nineveh deserve. In the end, we find compassion in the Lord. It's encouraging to see that we can find grace and mercy in God and the Lord, even with our shortcomings. Tim Keller said, Jesus did not merely weep for us. He died for us. Jonah went outside the city hoping to witness condemnation. But Jesus Christ went outside the city to die on a cross to accomplish its salvation. And I want you to remember that as we go on. At the end of sometime this week when you're reading through your Bible, go to chapter 4. It's the last chapter in Jonah. And read the last verse where there's God spares the 120,000 children of Nineveh. And it's really interesting. There are some other things that I left out about the gourd and the vine and some other things where Jonah just can't get beside himself. But take some time and read that and see God's compassion in the end of Jonah. And then remember how compassionate he is to each and every one of us. Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The only difference is I hope we've repented. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Give us a hunger to feed on our souls, on your scripture each day. May your Holy Spirit help us discern and understand it. For we realize that living according to your word is the foundation for this life and the life to come. Amen.